33.
You idiots!
Neith yelled. We're not idiots, Martin countered. The entrance of two new dragons into the treasure chamber had seemed like a sign that the three of them should leave the cave altogether. Martin and Philip had hoped that some fresh air and quiet would help them think of a new plan. But Neith started shouting at them as soon as they emerged.
I was better off before you showed up.
That's true, Martin allowed. But that doesn't mean we're idiots.
There are more dragons in there with my gold than there were before,
Neith shrieked, pointing at the cave opening behind him.
Yes, I know. That's what I meant when I agreed that you were better off before we showed up.
Philip said,
pointless.
Martin said, don't you start in on me too.
No, Philip said. I mean this conversation. It isn't doing anything to get those dragons away from your gold, Neith.
But it's making me feel a lot better,
Neith said nastily.
Philip said, I suppose so. But it's making my associate and me feel much worse. And if we start to feel too bad, we might just leave you to remove the dragons on your own. Do you really think you can do a better job than we can?
So far, it looks like it.
All right, then, we leave you to it. Come on, Martin.
Gladly.
The two of them started walking down the dragon-widened path that led out of the woods. Neith followed and continued his tirade.
Oh, fine! Then leave! Cowards! Run for it!
They kept walking. Neith kept following.
Yeah, just go! Just walk away!
After a few more steps, he said,
You're really going to do it, aren't you? You're really going to abandon me here!
After a long silence, Neith said,
You can't just go.
The wizards didn't slow their pace or even turn their heads back to look at Neith, but Martin said,
You told us to.
But I never thought you'd actually do it.
Why wouldn't we?
Philip asked.
Decency! Simple human decency! You can't just leave me here to deal with a problem you created.
And what problem is it you think we created, Neith?
I can't get to my gold because there are dragons on it that'll kill me if I try.
Martin said,
You couldn't get to your gold because there were dragons on it who would kill you if you tried when we got here.
Yeah,
Neith said.
But thanks to you, there are more dragons now.
Philip said,
Being killed by 6 dragons isn't much worse than being killed by 4. It's a minor change at best.
Come on, guys! You can't leave!
Martin glanced back and asked, Why not? You haven't given us a good reason to stay.
I'm paying you!
Philip laughed, then said,
We don't care about your gold. It's not even your gold, really. The wizard you knew as Merlin created it and hid it here until the day comes that he needs it. What makes you think it's yours? Because the cave's on your land?
They walked in silence for several steps before it registered to Martin and Philip that the question had shut Neith up. Now they stopped walking and turned to look at him.
Do you own the land the cave's on?
Martin asked quietly.
Neith looked at the ground and said,
It depends on what you mean by own.
Martin said,
By own, I mean own.
If that's what you mean, then no, I must admit that technically I don't own the land, but it is mine.
Are you saying that the king leased you the land?
Philip asked.
No. Then, How is the land yours?
Martin asked. Neith stood tall and puffed out his chest.
It's mine, because this is Wales, and I am a Welshman. Wales is the land of my father and my father's father. And that cave is set into the land of Wales, so that is the cave of my father and my father's father.
Philip put a steadying hand on Martin's shoulder, but Martin brushed it off and said,
Every person in Wales can make that same argument.
And if that many people agree, it can't be wrong, Neith said.
Do you intend to share the gold in that cave with every other person from Wales?
Yes, Neith said. Of course.
Martin stared at him. Neith added,
A bit at a time.
Martin growled,
By buying things with the gold?
Neith said,
That way only people who make things of value or provide a service I want get a share. It's merit-based.
Martin stared. Philip shook his head. Neith said,
You're so smart, how would you do it?
Martin continued staring, but his face cracked into a wide smile. Then he muttered some Esperanto under his breath and disappeared. Neith asked,
What's he doing?
Philip said,
Something rash.
A few long seconds ticked by, then a tiny point of silver light appeared where Martin had stood, barely 2 feet in front of Neith. The silver dot quickly expanded into a large circle of silver light, surrounding what appeared to be some sort of magical passage to another place. Neith saw many huts and a building he instantly recognized as Cardiff Castle. In front of the huts, he saw a crowd, hundreds of people strong, all looking in amazement toward the portal, toward him. He also saw Martin, standing on the other side of the portal with his arms spread wide, his staff held high, and his back to Neith, addressing the crowd.
Gold! Martin said. A cave full of it! More than all of you combined could carry. Each person here could walk out with their arms full, and there'd still be enough to make it worth going back for more.
Martin definitely had the crowd's interest. One young man in tattered clothes peered around Martin and said,
I don't see no cave. It's at the end of this path. Only a short distance, then the cave itself is long and dark, but at the end, there is a large chamber which contains an unimaginably vast quantity of gold.
How much gold?
I just told you, an unimaginably vast quantity.
But how much is that?
Martin said, I can't give you an exact figure. It's unimaginably vast. Imagine the largest, vastest amount of gold you can. More gold than that. A wave of excitement shot through the crowd. The young man in the tattered clothes stepped purposefully toward the portal, saying,
Well then, what are we waiting for?
Martin said, I need to warn you. There's danger. The man said,
I'll be careful,
as he walked past Martin through the portal. He eyed Neith, but didn't stop or even slow down to do it. Once he passed Neith, he broke into a run.
The gold is mine, Neith shouted at the man's back. Not if I get to it first.
Martin pointed his free, non-staff-holding hand at the man and said,
Radion de Rugalumo.
A ray of silver light shot from Martin's hand, hitting the man just before he disappeared around a bend. Martin turned back to the crowd and slowly painted them all with the same ray of light he'd used to shoot the man.
This is a protection spell, Martin said. It will keep you safe from the terrors of the cave.
Actually, it was little more than a flashlight, a harmless bit of showmanship that helped make a wizard's more useful spells look interesting. In this case, since the dragons had been deliberately designed to not actually be able to hurt anybody anyway, the little bit of showmanship was all that Martin actually needed. A woman in the crowd asked,
What are the terrors of the cave?
Dragons.
Martin said, turning his light show on the crowd.
6 full-grown, fire-breathing dragons. But take heart. Thanks to my magic, they cannot harm you. Their fire and their claws will cause you great pain, but no actual injury. Now, follow me!
Martin deactivated the magical ray and spun on his heels, finding himself face-to-face with Neith.
That's my gold,
Neith said. Martin pointed back over his shoulder and said, Explain that to them. I think they'll find your plan to share it with them by buying stuff most interesting. Martin stepped around Neith, as did what appeared to be most of the population of Cardiff. Neith stood silently as they flowed around him. Some motion above him caught his eye. He looked up and saw Philip floating over the crowd, looking down at him. Neith yelled,
It was my gold!
Philip said,
Some of it still can be. Radion de Rugalumo!
And hit Neith with a beam of light similar to the one Martin had used on the crowd. Martin walked briskly. The crowd kept pace with him, but they seemed to do so reluctantly. Philip glided forward and landed next to Martin, matching his pace.
How do you expect this to play out?
We'll see.
That's your plan? We'll see? That's not a plan.
Sure it is. I plan to see.
A plan is a set of steps that lead to a goal. We'll see is not a plan.
Martin said,
the steps were to go to the nearest town, set up a portal back here, tell people about the gold, and tell them the dragons couldn't hurt them. That's four steps. The goal is to see what happens next.
That's not much of a goal.
Really? You can't tell me you don't want to see what happens. They didn't have to wait much longer. They had walked through the forest far enough that they saw the mouth of the cave in the distance. Martin and Philip maintained their pace all the way to the cave's entrance, but the throng of people that had followed them slowed to a crawl. Everyone wanted to go into the cave, but nobody wanted to go in first, in case Martin's magic proved too weak to protect them. The result looked similar to when children have a going slow race. Only in this case, the competitors were adults, and they suspected that it might be a going slow race to the death. Forward progress had nearly ground to a halt when the people at the front of the crowd started shouting that they heard something coming from the cave. Then all progress did truly stop as everyone strained to hear. It sounded like footsteps, fast footsteps, one person running, but not well. The sound had a heaviness about it, like the person might be hindered somehow, possibly very tired or injured. Then they heard the panting, long ragged breaths that grew louder along with the footfalls. The woods were silent. Most of the people in the crowd held their breath. All they could see the cave entrance peered in, dreading the sight of the injured wretch they were certain would soon emerge, but not daring to look away for fear that they might not get to see him. Then, after what felt like an eternity, he emerged, the man who had left the crowd early, rushing in and ignoring all warnings in his haste. He had reaped the reward of his hasty actions. He seemed perfectly healthy, and he was carrying a small stack of solid gold floor tiles. Gold is very heavy, so the bundle was a bit smaller than a cinder block, but was really more than he could carry. But gold is also very valuable, so despite the less than impressive size of his haul, it was more than enough to rivet everyone's attention.
It's true,
he wheezed.
What the wizard said is true. It's more gold than I thought existed in the world, all right there for the taking.
And what of the dragons?
An old man in the crowd shouted.
Did you see them?
The man carefully placed his load of gold on the ground, then sat on it, both to rest and to protect it from theft. He took a couple of heavy breaths and said,
Yeah, a bunch of them. I thought I was done for. Two got on either side of me, and they both blew fire on me at once. It hurt like hell. But when they were done, I was fine.
The crowd ran into the cave. Martin and Philip moved to the side and watched as the swift torrent of people flowed past them, disappearing into the dark. The sound of the crowd reverberated off the walls into a deafening roar. The pace slowed as the people at the front of the line felt their way through the dark. The sound seemed to agitate the dragons, which slowed the pace further and flooded the cave and the treasure chamber with orange light. The entire crowd had gone in now, including Neith. Martin and Philip heard shouting and roaring and screaming and more roaring and then, in the end, cheering. They saw a dark silhouette of many flapping wings and flailing claws illuminated from behind by one last spiteful fireball. Martin created a goal, hovering 6 feet above the ground, covering most of the cave exit. He and Philip counted as all six dragons flew at top speed into it. Martin clapped his hands and said,
Just as I'd planned.
Philip said,
You didn't plan that.
Martin said,
We've already established that my plan was to see what happened. That just happened, and I saw it.